This is the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast, presented by Massage Envy, featuring interviews, analysis, and feature stories on Arkansas football. Now, from Fayetteville, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
In a scene that has become all too common in Razorback Nation, the Hogs had the ball with a chance to win the game, but came up short once again.
Hicks fires, got it knocked down in the pocket, and Kentucky stops him on downs.
We keep putting ourselves in position to win games, and we're not stringing things together to finish it, and that's our job as coaches.
Morris's message was clear. The only thing to do is keep fighting.
I mean, there's no quit in us. We're going to go back to work and get better. And that's all we can do. We got to worry about us. We got to worry about how we play. And we got to worry about just getting better every day.
The fight will only get harder for the Hogs as Gus Malzahn and the Auburn Tigers return to Northwest Arkansas. Chief Chavis and the defense will face their biggest challenge yet as they take on a Tiger team that averages scoring just over 41 points against the Razorbacks under Malzahn. The Hogs return home for their first SEC game at Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium. It's Tigers vs. Razorbacks in the Ozarks. From Whole Hog Sports, I'm Seth Campbell, and this is the Whole Hog Football Podcast. On today's show, we'll look at what's working and what's not for the Hogs as we hit the halfway point of the season. We'll also talk to Brandon Marcello, writer for Auburn 247 Sports. Then, we'll wrap it up with the most experienced Razorback roundtable out there as Tom Murphy, Matt Jones, and Scotty Bordelon hand out their grades for the Razorbacks after the first half of the season. But first, a word from our sponsor, Massage Envy. Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. Great therapists and estheticians go along with a new service that I am truly excited about. Rapid Tension Relief uses a special tool that will melt the tension and soreness away. Trust me, you will not be disappointed in the results. I highly recommend this feature along with a total body stretch assisted stretch program. Whether you are competing at a high level or just want to relax, these services are for everyone. Massage, rapid tension relief, total body stretch, deep muscle treatment massage, you choose. Or you can try any combination of those. So the next time you're feeling tight, make sure to call my friends at Massage Envy. Preseason predictions are fun. The hiatus away from football gives fans hope that their team could be better than the season before. Even fans that keep it, quote, realistic, have a hope deep inside of them that their team will do better than expected. Midseason predictions? Not so much. By the time you hit the midway point, the hope of a new season has been replaced by the reality that the defense, well, they may have been good in preseason only because they were playing against the offense of their own team. It's not like this for all teams, but for the Razorbacks, that feeling hasn't been, well, uncommon. As we hit the midpoint of the season, it's time to look at the highs and lows, the things that have worked and the things that haven't worked so well for the Hogs. Let's start with the lows. The Razorbacks' search for a quarterback seemed like it was over after Nick Starkel took over the offense during the Ole Miss game. Then, in games 5 and 6 of the year, Starkel seemed to digress, while Ben Hicks seemed to progress. Morris was trying to stick to one guy early in the season, but here it is game 7, and he said he won't name a starter until game time. Another low for the Hogs is they brought in some young, but talented wide receivers this offseason. But only 2 out of the 4 four-star freshmen have gotten significant playing time. On top of this, 2 pre-snap formation penalties by the receiving corps have taken big plays off of the board in big games. Point the finger at the quarterback or the receiver, it doesn't matter. Those are 2 plays the Razorbacks would love to have back. Before you get too low, let's bring you back up by looking at some of the positives. Rakeem Boyd has looked every part the feature back the Hogs needed this year. He leads the SEC in rushing yards and has had explosive runs against Colorado State and Kentucky. Special teams has been a relative bright spot for the Hogs as well, Connor Lippert is now 7th all-time in field goals made in Arkansas history. As of right now, he's also got the highest field goals made percentage in Razorback history. The punts from the Hogs have been shaky at times, but add Treylon Burks to the return team, and the Hogs' special teams are dangerous. Also, don't forget that kickoffs, well, they're going into the end zone more frequently this year. So while midseason predictions look bleak, remember, being a fan is a roller coaster ride, full of highs and lows. It's not a quick trip on the merry-go-round.
Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. One reason is our great therapists and estheticians. Due to increased demand with our new services in both massage and skincare, Massage Envy is now looking for talented, licensed providers to join our great team. A competitive compensation package and family-like environment are just some of the reasons our providers have worked nearly 10 years with Massage Envy. Looking for a great career? Come by our clinics in Rogers or Fayetteville and apply today.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Now, I have named starter and probably not going to. Not to the end.
Hey, Coach Chad Morris on the quarterback situation for the Hogs going into the Auburn game.
Welcome back into the Whole Hog Football Podcast. Seth Campbell joined alongside now Brandon Marcello, writer for Auburn 247 Sports. And Brandon, Auburn has scored a lot of points against Arkansas when Gus Malzahn has been either the coordinator or head coach at Auburn. In 9 games against the Hogs, the Tigers averaged 41.1 points per game and scored 34 points or more 7 times. What makes the Tigers' offense so effective against the Hogs?
Well, I think, you know, for one, Arkansas has also been on some lean times late, and that certainly has something to do with it. But I think, more than anything, you know, Auburn just come into these games very well prepared. You know, Gus Malzahn is, you know, he's coming off a bye week, especially this week, and, you know, he's 10-0 as a head coach after bye week, so I expect him to have his offense ready to go as well in this one.
Yeah, and quarterback Bo Nix has been a real key to the Auburn offense. You know, he's been fantastic all year long for Auburn up until the Florida game where, you know, Florida kind of made him look like a freshman quarterback. He had a quarterback rating of 17.8. What did Florida do to make Nix uncomfortable in the pocket?
Well, they got in his face. That was the best defensive line by far that Auburn's faced, and Auburn's offensive lines is just average to maybe above average. So that was a big, big challenge for them. And you know, Nix was seeing pressure in his face, and sometimes when he wasn't seeing the pressure, he felt like there was pressure there, and it ended up resulting in him throwing some bad passes and obviously 3 interceptions. And that was probably the loudest stadium Auburn's been in a couple of years, to be quite honest. It was as loud as of a stadium as I've heard in recent years. I was quite impressed by the Swamp. I've been there before, but they were really into it for that game, and I think that really, really affected things for Auburn communication-wise with their offense.
You kind of mentioned the offensive line being a weaker point for the Auburn Tigers. Is that their weakness on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Though one could probably argue that might be the running back situation, just because they haven't figured out quite who's going to replace Jartavius Whitlow, who's out for the next 3 to 5 weeks after being their starter, but they're trying to figure that out against Arkansas. But yeah, I'd say it's the offensive line, which is should have been a strength. You know, it's 5 seniors, but they kind of are what they are. They're not, you know, too incredible, but they get the job done enough. They're 3rd, I think, in the SEC in rushing average, which is good, but they're about to face some really good defenses down the stretch.
You talked about the loss of Whitlow. What will the Auburn offense look like without him in the backfield?
Well, it looks like they're going to do a committee approach. They're going to try and utilize Cam Martin, their senior, who's not necessarily every down back, but they're probably going to start him, try to give him 10, 15 carries or so. And the big wild card is freshman DJ Williams. He's an every down back, the guy that they kind of expected at some point halfway through the season, they might need a little bit more. The problem is he was injured in the offseason, had shoulder surgery, and then suffered a hip flexor early in the season and missed most of the first month of the year. So he comes to this game with only 7 carries in his career, but I think that he's the guy that has to be their go-to back, their every down back, not only in this game, but here in the back half of the schedule, because they might not get Whitlow back until the Iron Bowl, or maybe not even until the postseason.
Do you think that Malzahn will try and use some different formations just to get multiple guys the ball in the backfield and get them kind of comfortable in the game?
You know, it's possible. I think Auburn, you know, they like to try and keep things simple. Do you like to use motion, that, you know, they utilize the receivers and jet sweeps and reverses, end arounds to get the ball in other players' hands, and not necessarily just the running backs running the ball. They want the receivers to run the ball as well. And, you know, one guy to really keep an eye on is Anthony Schwartz. He's probably one of the fastest players in college football, if not the fastest. He has world-class track speeds. He's going to try and be an Olympian here in a few years. And Florida shut him down. Auburn gave him one carry on a jet sweep, and he got tackled in the backfield, and Auburn never went back to it again because they double-teamed him the rest of the game. They got to figure out a way to get him out in the open field and isolated against Arkansas in these future games too.
Going over to the other side of the ball, what will the Tigers' game plan be against the Hogs on defense?
Well, I think, you know, what they've got to do is just get to the quarterback. That's been their MO all season. I think they're ranked 2nd nationally in quarterback pressures this season. They're in the top 30 in sacks. So they're not necessarily finishing those pressures with sacks, but they're affecting passes. And they have played a lot of teams that have thrown the ball against them. I think after they play Arkansas this week, they would have faced 3 of the top 4 offenses in the SEC in terms of pass attempts. And they also faced Oregon earlier this year with the first-round quarterback and Justin Herbert. So they've had plenty of opportunities to try and go after the quarterback. And some of these offenses have had success against them throwing the ball. But what Auburn's done is that it's capitalized. It hasn't allowed the big play to go over their head. And that's primarily because they're getting pressure on the quarterback and making them question things and not get through their progressions.
You know, Derrick Brown is probably going to be the best interior defender the Razorbacks have seen thus far into the season. What does he bring to the table?
He's just a complete game changer. I think he's a top 5 NFL draft potential pick. It just depends on team need, but he's that type of talent. I mean, goodness, he almost single-handedly won the Florida game despite the offense not being able to do anything. He nearly had a fumble return for a touchdown. He recovered 2 fumbles. Has sacked. The guy was everywhere. He's really been phenomenal. Been defensive lineman of the week 2 weeks in a row in the SEC. And what he does is he brings pressure in the middle to the quarterback, which is something that Auburn hasn't necessarily had in recent years and really needed this year, because they're really struggling to get some pressure off the edge from guys like Nick Coe and Big Cat Bryant that they're really expecting. So Derrick Brown's really filled the void in for them there, and he's probably the best defensive tackle Auburn's had since their national championship season in 2010 when Nick Fairley was in the middle.
That's good stuff. We're talking right now to Brandon Marcello, writer for Auburn 247 Sports. You know, Brandon, coming off of a bye week after that loss to Florida, you know, what is Auburn's mindset coming into Fayetteville?
You know, they're pretty peeved off because, you know, they fully expected to win that Florida game, and they just played horribly on offense. Their defense did enough for them. I mean, they held Florida to 17 points until the fourth quarter, when they allowed an 88-yard run, and that just broke their backs, and they lost 24-13. So I think the defense is mad, but also that offense, they're wanting some redemption. And I think what this coaching staff has done this week is they simplified things offensively to help Bo Nix is a true freshman quarterback, but also to help with the situation at running back. So I think they're going to go into Arkansas, you know, really focused, but also they've kind of narrowed things down to their team strengths. And I don't think that their playbook is the playbook, but I don't think they'll be pulling as many plays out as they were trying to do at Florida, and it really hurt them.
It makes sense. You know, Gus Malzahn and Chad Morris, they're friends. You know, Morris was talking this week, and he said that he'll talk to Malzahn once a week. He said, except for game week. And from the Auburn perspective of it, you know, what's that relationship between Morris and Malzahn been like?
Yeah, they're close buddies. I mean, they've known each other since the early to mid-2000s when Gus Malzahn was the coach there at Springdale High, and Chad Morris was in Texas, and Morris was wanting to learn more about the hurry-up, no-huddle, and he came up to a playoff game in Little Rock and tried to talk to Malzahn, but Malzahn wouldn't talk to him. He was a little bit paranoid, thinking it was some guy trying to, you know, steal his plays or something, and it took a couple more visits for Chad Morris to convince him to sit down with him, and there for a week in the spring, that next spring, they sat down and spent time together in Springdale, and he kind of took Gus's offense, adapted it, you know, built upon it, and then had a lot of success in Texas, as everybody knows, won state titles, and then, you know, gotten into the college game, followed Gus after Gus was the offensive coordinator at Tulsa, and then the rest is history. And so they're really close friends, you know, and in this business, you know, Gus will tell you, and I'm sure Chad will tell you, that there's not really a lot of close friends, just because that's the nature of it. But those two guys really are very, very close.
Very good. And last question before we let you go here, Brandon. You know, Gus Malzahn always seems to be on the hot seat coming off a loss at Auburn, or at least from the outside perspective. How are fans feeling after the loss to Florida?
I think they're okay. They're not, you know, as bad as maybe some people would have thought, or I would maybe would have thought. You know, 5-1 after the schedule they played halfway through the season is pretty good. They played Oregon, played Texas A&M, and obviously at Florida. They just can't afford a loss against a team they're supposed to win, because then that'll definitely put Gus on the hot seat if he loses to an Arkansas or an Ole Miss here down the stretch. But the big question for him is, can he knock off one or two of the big three that are coming up for them, and that's LSU, Georgia, and Alabama. He gets two of them at home, but he has to go to LSU after this game, after against Arkansas, and Auburn hasn't won in the Bayou in 20 years. So, you know, they lose that game, fans will be in uproar again, but I don't know if it'll be necessarily to try and fire him. I just think that, you know, they're kind of sick of losing certain games, and that gets heated up a little bit more, and people start saying things they don't really mean. But I think Gus is in a pretty good spot right now at 5-1.
All right, Brandon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Brandon Marcello, writer for 247 Sports in Auburn. Make sure to check out his stuff online.
Massage Envy, with clinics in Rogers and Fayetteville, has been awarded Northwest Arkansas's Best Day Spa and Best Massage. One of the reasons is our care for athletes, both serious and recreational. We now offer rapid tension relief sessions using a high-caliber vibrating tool and total body stretch sessions like the ones used by the PGA. Both of these new services can be combined with the always popular deep muscle treatment. So whether you compete or just want to relax, there is no place better than Massage Envy. Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Like I said before in past interviews, we're a whole different team now. Last year at this time, at this point, I mean, we're 2-4 starting off like we did last year. Last year we would have been, we would have had people blaming, complaining, talking just bad noise. And this year, everybody's still coming together.
That's tight end C.J. O'Grady on the Hogs not giving up this year and staying together in the locker room.
Welcome into the Whole Hog Football Podcast. It is roundtable time. We've got Matt Jones, Scotty Bordelon, and Tom Murphy joining us today. Guys, thanks so much. And all right, we've reached the halfway point of the season, gentlemen. And, you know, before this, whenever your parents are asking you about your report card, because, you know, as a halfway point, it's about time for that, you know,
midterm report cards to come out. And before that time, you know, you could say, oh, I'm doing fine. And nobody had any evidence. Well, now the evidence is hitting with your midterms coming out. And it's time to grade the Razorbacks. So let's start with the quarterback situation. It seemed like at the beginning of the year, Morris, he wanted to avoid a situation like last year where the team couldn't decide on a quarterback. Instead, at the halfway point, that's exactly what happened. So what grade do you give the quarterbacks Starkel and Hicks? And we'll start with you, Tom.
Oh, that's going to be probably about a C minus, because when, first of all, I understand Chad's rationale pretty much throughout the entire way so far, other than I think I would have gone to Hicks sooner in the last game at Kentucky. I understand his rationale. Like, I want to name a starter. I want to give both guys a shot in game one. At halftime of Ole Miss, went with Starkel and then started Starkel the next few games. Starkel's performance against San Jose State alone with the five picks and just the chance to win the game in the second half, and they didn't do that, drags the grade down and his number of INTs. So, and here we are back basically to square one. And I know he didn't want to be there, but that's where they are.
What do you think, Scotty?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Tom. I'll probably go with a C minus, maybe even a D. Both guys, I think, have shown flashes, and Hicks, you know, was named the starter and didn't do anything to hold on to the job. Starkel came in, and after a few games, you know, he's sitting at seven picks. He's sitting at seven picks through six games, and through five in one game. I mean, that doesn't instill just a whole lot of confidence. Both guys have, you know, Ben, I think, came in. I think Ben's done a pretty good job staying focused. Staying dialed into the game plan, because he's come in twice in place of Starkel for various reasons, and he looks as sharp as he has all season in those two appearances. But I think part of my grade two on top of the turnovers is just their inability to cash in the red zone, and I wrote about that on Monday. Starkel's thrown, I think, three picks in the red zone, and they turned the ball over on downs four times. Not all of that is on the quarterback, but most of it is when you're kind of the general of the offense. I mean, you're basically, like Tom said, you're back to square one midway through the season, and that's not a good place to be.
I think if you're going starting quarterbacks, I'd say a D minus. Their starting quarterback play has been terrible this year. I think one of the most concerning things for this team is that in the Ole Miss game, the Texas A&M game, and the Kentucky game, that the starter did not look prepared for the game, and the backup came off the bench and outplayed him. It makes you wonder what they're seeing in practice. It makes you wonder, you know, what the distribution of snaps are in practice, because their starting quarterback play is not being good. It wasn't good against San Jose State. It wasn't good against Portland State. The only game where you could say the starter played a pretty good game was against Colorado State, when Nick Starkel played pretty well in that game. Otherwise, they've laid an egg in their five other games in terms of their starting quarterback play. Now, I know Starkel got hurt against Texas A&M, and that, you know, affects that a little bit, but he wasn't playing just great up until that point. And so, you know, their starting quarterback grade has to be really low. The red zone problems, you know, that they're having, you know, a lot of their success this year on offense has been because of Rakeem Boyd and their run game, not necessarily because they've been able to move the ball through the air. So, you know, the interceptions, the turnovers, the pre-snap penalties that, you know, if you ask just about anyone, are going to tell you it's on the quarterback to look down the line of scrimmage and make sure that you don't have a receiver covering up your tight end or another receiver. It just hasn't been a good quarterback play for them this season. You know, so from a starting perspective, I think it's just about as bad of starting quarterback play as we've seen through the first half of the season. It reminds me a little bit of the 2001 season when Ryan Sorhan and Zach Clark were your two starting quarterbacks early in the year, and then they had Matt Jones come off the bench midway through that season, and that turned that season around. Do they have another Matt Jones who can come into a game this year and turn them around? I don't know if they do or not, but you know what they've been doing the last few weeks, it just isn't working at quarterback.
And just the edge between winning and losing is so close. In the last game alone, from the 9-yard line, Starkel had a chance to hit O'Grady on a slant where he had a little bit of edge, and if he puts it in front of his hands, that's probably a touchdown. Missed it. And then in the last drive, they had a slant to Mike Woods, and Ben Hicks threw that one behind Woods in the defender. And that one wouldn't have been a touchdown unless Woods makes someone miss, but it would have been a first down inside, I think, the 10-yard line at that point.
And just going back to Saturday, too, I charted the quarterbacks, and Nick Starkel's, I mean, he was, I mean, Jordan Rogers was pointing out like the kind of the mechanical flaws in his throwing motion and just his footwork and stuff. And I charted him with 7 accurate passes, 5 inaccurate, and 2 more interceptable passes. And then he had 1 throwaway. So more than half of his charted passes were not great.
Does that worry you? Like you said, Scotty, Jordan Rogers was on the broadcast pointing out, you know, Scotty's foot or Scotty was pointing out Starkel's footwork. Like, does that worry you that the stuff of footwork that should have probably been focused on during the off season is what we're talking about at the halfway point of the season, Matt?
Scotty's footwork was worse than Starkel's. I don't know. You know, remember he didn't spend the spring with them. And so I think there's so much new, you know, to him. Yeah, it's just a matter of they're stuck with what they're stuck with, the quarterback. They don't really have a good quarterback option for this conference. They've got a couple of guys who can do some things well, who also have a lot of drawbacks to them playing. You know, if you're Hicks, he does a pretty good job about keeping them out of pre-snap penalties. He's a fairly accurate passer, but they can't really spread the field because he's not going to really complete a whole lot of passes, 8 yards and farther down the field. Whereas Starkel, you know, he gives you that big playability, but he's also going to make you, you know, really cringe a lot of times when he's playing at quarterback. So I don't know about being worried about it. I think that when you have transfer quarterbacks, there's always going to be some warts with them. That's why they got away from their last school in the first place. And I think that's what you see with these two.
All right, moving on to a happier group. Let's go to the running back situation. You know, Rakeem Boyd has been a bright spot on the Razorbacks, 617 yards and 5 touchdowns through the halfway point in the season. What's your grade from the running back room, Scotty?
You know, I think a bulk of this grade is, you know, it's kind of like that project you had like at the end of the 9 weeks. Like, Rakeem Boyd takes up like a bulk of this grade. And, I mean, I would probably put it at a B. Rakeem's leading the league in rushing. He's got, I think he's over 700 rushing yards, and he leads the league. He's averaging over, you know, 100 yards a game. And, you know, the big run that he had the other night on the second play from scrimmage, he goes for 74 and a touchdown and gets Arkansas off to a good start, which it hasn't gotten off to very often. And I asked him Saturday, I was like, what kind of night did you feel like you were in for after that first long run? He said, man, I feel like I could have gone for 300 or 400 on him. But he only ended up with 15 carries, which was a little bit head scratching. And I know he does have the AC joint issue with his right shoulder, the shoulder they didn't have surgically repaired in the offseason. But outside of that, like, you've gotten flashes of solid play from Devall Whaley and essentially nothing from Chase Hayden because he's been out with concussion protocol type stuff. So we'll see what his status is moving forward. And you don't have anything from Monte Spivey. Basically 2 touches from TJ Hammond. So bulk of the success has been Rakeem. So I'll probably go with a B, maybe a B minus.
What do you think, Matt?
I think because of the offensive line play, an A, to have that type of rushing performance they've had this season. Their offensive line just has not been very good this year. You've seen it, you know, time and time again. There's just a lot of weak links, I think, within that offensive line. The fact that Colton Jackson hasn't been able to play, you know, certainly hurts them some. Boyd has been about as good as I think you could expect him to. Was a little surprised, like Scotty was saying the other night, not to see him get more carries because of the way he started off in that game. You know, especially in the second half. Didn't they throw 3 straight passes coming out of halftime and they didn't get a first down?
Devall Whaley, I think he was on the field the first series.
Yeah, I think maybe he was getting looked at. Boyd might have been getting looked at. But, you know, I was surprised that they kind of abandoned the running game the way they did because they were having a little bit of success against that Kentucky front. But because of the offensive line, I mean, even Whaley, I think, is averaging about 4 yards a carry, 4.3 yards per carry. So I think the running backs are playing fine. I think it's more an issue right now of why they're not calling more run plays for them because the offensive line, at least in their pass protection, has not been very good this year.
They had a nice little trap play going against Kentucky, and it worked. They had several 9-yard gains and, of course, the big one. I'm going to split the difference between you two guys and give them an A-. I think early in the season there was a couple of cuts Boyd could have made, but we're really splitting hairs here, getting nitpicky. He's had a fantastic season for a team where safeties can come down some against them. That's why they got to keep expanding the offense and hitting those receivers. But anyway, yeah, A-.
Okay, Arkansas, moving on to the wide receivers. They brought in a talented group of freshmen at the wide receiver position. What has your been? What has been your assessment of them and the entire wide receiver group so far, Tom?
I thought you were going to go mad. I would give them probably about a B minus. The alignment errors that they expected and that have taken place. But Treylon Burks, get the ball in his hands. He's got to have 8 to 10 touches every game. And I'm talking about punt returns included. Maybe some, you know, reverses and just other, like the lateral. Just so explosive and makes people miss. It hurt them against Kentucky. If they could have taken advantage in the first half, if they could have gotten the ball to Knox and O'Grady and Burks more often, and Mike Woods and Tyson Morris go down the list, they've made a big upgrade at receiver, and I say B minus for those guys.
Yeah, Treylon Burks has been pretty good, and it's like every week we see. I think I tweeted during the game. It's like he does something. At least one thing every game that just makes my jaw drop. Like he's a freshman. He's like 18, 19 years old. And that play when they had the little, they went under center and had the little swing pass that they were going to try to get to him. And then from him to O'Grady in the end zone. And he looked downfield, saw that he didn't have O'Grady open, pulled it. And it actually made two Kentucky defenders turn their back to the ball and run downfield. And he had the presence of mind to just tuck it and run it and pick up a first down. I really like him a lot. Trey Knox, you know, aside from the game that he missed with the hip injury, you know, he's been pretty good. All those guys have been fairly consistent. I'd like to see more from Bob's boy, Tyson Morris. You know, I think he dropped his first target the other night. He did have a pretty nice catch for a first down the other day. Quaylen Jackson's just kind of been virtually invisible aside from the touchdown at Ole Miss. You know, I think that group I would probably give a C plus to.
All right, Matt, what do you think?
I think because of their youth, you kind of give them a little bit higher of a grade, you know, somewhere like Tom was saying, B minus, somewhere in there. The alignment issues are two things that I think you have to, you know, address when you're talking about how they've done this season. They've had a 50-yarder and a 47-yarder off the board because they didn't line up right. You know, little things like that can go a long way, especially in close games like those two games were. You know, but I think Burks has played really well. I think Trey Knox has played pretty well. I guess we're throwing the tight ends here. C.J. O'Grady has played, you know, pretty well as a, in that tight end role like we thought he would this season. Woods had the nice game against, I think, maybe San Jose State.
Yeah,
he had the big long touchdown against them. So I think the receivers have played pretty well. The two things that I think are a knock on them, the alignment issues, like I mentioned, and then there have been a lot of drops this season from the wide receiver position. You know, some of them have been passes that weren't great, but they were still catchable. Chad Morris talks a lot about your catch radius, you know, what's within that catch radius. And even though the passes weren't great, they were still within that catch radius, and there have been a number of drops this season. But I think overall, the receivers have been a pretty good group.
Now moving on, guys, as we'll go to the offensive line. And you know, I'm talking about the receivers and how they've been a good group and the running backs have been a good group, but both of those really positions kind of depend on some other guys. And we're talking about how the quarterbacks haven't been really getting the receivers the ball. And then the running backs, well, they've been dependent on the offensive line. And, you know, it's been hit or miss this year. So we'll start with you, Scotty. The offensive line, what grade would you give them?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, I wish you'd have sent me these questions earlier.
That's an excuse.
Man, I don't know. I wouldn't give them a failing grade. They'd probably pass, but not by just a whole lot.
So C's get degrees here?
Yeah, I guess so. That was my motto in college. But I'd probably go C minus, but maybe D plus. Like these quarterbacks, man, they don't just have a whole lot of time to just sit in the pocket and survey the field and get those accurate passes off. Excuse me. I think like in the San Jose State game when Nick Starkel threw his five picks, a lot of those, like obviously those picks are on him. Some of those are pressures in his face. He feels like he's got to get rid of the ball. I think he got hit upwards of nine or ten times in that game, which against San Jose State is pretty inexcusable. And then I keep going back to Saturday night on the last two plays of the game Arkansas absolutely had to have great protection on those in those instances. And on the first play, Austin Capps just gets whipped by his man, and Hicks gets dropped for a 7-yard loss. Very next play, Ricky Stromberg, true freshman, starting at right guard, gets whipped and allows his and his man hits Ben Hicks, and the guy that beat Austin Capps on the previous play knocks Hicks's ball down, and that's just the ball game. And I feel like that kind of sums up how Arkansas season's gone on the offensive line. They haven't given running backs just a ton to work with. Like, they've been good at times, like against Colorado State, I thought they were okay. But yeah, this group's struggling, and even with continuity, they're not giving the quarterback a whole lot of time to throw.
I'll give him an incomplete because I want to see him with Colton Jackson before you really grade him, and he's been out with an injury. I think what I've seen from Jackson this year, he's better than he was last season. You're not seeing the snap issues nearly as much in the shotgun from Ty Clary as you saw last year. Austin Capps, he is what he is. You know, he's a converted defensive lineman playing at guard. Ricky Stromberg is a freshman playing at guard. You know, Dalton Wagner is a player who didn't see the field last season, you know, playing at the other tackle position. And so, you know, obviously their play is not great, but there have been, I mean, you have to give them some credit for the runs that Boyd has had. You know, they've been able to open some holes for him. And, you know, the big problem with them I see, though, is in their pass protection. I just, like Scotty mentioned, especially their inside, I don't think you're seeing teams really have as much success from, you know, the outside rushing against them. I think you're seeing it more from the inside, being where the pass rush is coming from this season. And so, but I'd give them an incomplete because I really want to see them with Colton Jackson. I want to see them with Colton Jackson more. Are they a better offensive line when he's out there? You expect that would be the case with a senior tackle, but we just haven't had a chance to see it very much lately.
Absolutely. C-. They've just been up and down. There's been some nice run games, like the Colorado State game, their most complete offensive game. And then there's been the pass pro issues. I just think that losing Noah Gatlin on the first day of camp and Colton Jackson's injuries, that's two of your top three tackles. And, you know, Myron Cunningham has come in. He played a better game last week. The draw play, Joe Craddock kind of broke down that last drive for us on Monday. And Ty Clary gets pushed back a little bit by the nose tackle. Those guys, one of the 360 or 370 pounders, pushes him back a little, which knocks Myron Cunningham off his track, which was the hole at right guard. So he's a little bit late getting there. Ben Hicks is a little bit early, and right behind him, they're stacked up. Cunningham did not get a good push on the linebacker. But if all that takes place, Ben Hicks is running a nice 8-yard run, and they're in a much better position. So I stick with a C- there.
C- from Tom, a C- or D+ from Scotty, and Matt's going with an incomplete. Hey, back in college, an incomplete was still a failing grade for me. So
I taught college journalism. I gave a lot of incompletes up until the end of the season.
All right, switching over defensive side of the ball. We'll go with the defensive line. They've been hampered by some injuries all year. How do you grade them out, Matt?
You know, a lower grade than I think you would expect from them, because going into the season, I think we all expected that the defensive line might be the strong point of the football team.
Yep.
And of course, getting Dorian Gerald injured at the beginning of the season, that hurts them. That's an experienced defensive end who we all thought might have a lot better season this year because he'd finally been in the program for a year. Last year he came in, I don't even think he was there for the first day of practice and was kind of playing catch up, you know, for a lot of the season. McTelvin Aguim he's kind of been hit and miss there in the middle. You wonder about, are they playing him out of position? But that's where the NFL scouts think he's going to be a player, or where he's got his best chance to be a professional player is there in the middle. And then kind of like on the offensive line, you look at it and there's a lot of freshmen playing, you know, Soley is playing and Colin Clay is playing and Zach Williams has played just a little bit at the other defensive end position. So I don't know what grade I'd give them, but I think it'd be somewhere middle of the road type grade just because they haven't been quite what we expected yet.
I'm going to have to force you. You went with an incomplete last time. I'm going to have to force a
middle
grade
of the road,
out of you this
I think
time.
It's
a
C.
Yeah, okay, C.
All right. We had to force Matt with a grade out of you. What do you think, Tom?
I won't argue that too much. I'll just go a little higher, C+, maybe B-, right on that edge. The tackles have done pretty well, not dominating in some games. And the San Jose State game you keep coming back to because you think those guys could overpower and win a lot of the one-on-ones against San Jose State, and they did not get pressure. I know they got the ball out quickly. Josh Love did. And in the end, you just feel bad for him because of the loss of Gerald and all the young guys who have had to play. And then Jamario Bell hurt his knee and missed two games in the early part of the season. So, and then in containing the edge, and I know that it's a combination of everything, the linebackers, the safeties, and even the corners have responsibilities on the edge, but it's been breached too often, and Auburn is going to attack it on Saturday, and that plays into it. And there's been wide swaths of games where some certain guys just don't see them for long periods, and the Kentucky game was one of those. And so my final grade is a C+.
Just to amend my statement, the one thing I really thought we'd see more from the defensive line this year is a pass rush. And outside of the Texas A&M game, we just have not seen that very much. Now, like Tom said, you've had different types of quarterbacks who get it out quick. And a quarterback like Lynn Bowden the other night, how do you rush that guy? Well, if you rush him, you're leaving open a lot of rushing lanes, you know, even more than they left open in the second half that night. You know, but I just thought we'd see more of a pass rush out of this team this season. And outside of A&M, we just haven't seen it very much.
Yeah, you pass rush Lynn Bowden, and that means you're probably going to be left in space with a guy who's definitely going to make Arkansas defenders miss more often than not. I'd probably go with the C or C minus two for this defensive line group. Sosa, we've talked about him in the past just being so-so this season. He does lead the team, I think, in sacks with like four and a half. So he has been hit or miss. I think that's a fair assessment. Jonathan Marshall, I think, finally made a play the other night, but it could have been just more on the exchange between Asim Rose and Lynn Bowden.
I think you made a play on that one. He pushed the dude into the backfield.
Yeah, he did. That's a good point. The ends, I've been kind of encouraged by the ends. Like Mateo Soli has played okay, and he's finally got his club off of his right hand. So we'll see how that goes moving forward. John Chavis the other day kind of made me raise my eyebrow. He was like, I didn't see much of a difference. We probably will moving forward. I think Jamario Bell had a pretty good first half of the season. He was leading the team in sacks going into the Kentucky game, and Gabe Richardson has finally made a few plays, like some impact plays, tackles behind the line of scrimmage. But overall, like Tom said, just too much of the opposing team getting on the edge. And, you know, I think I don't see the defensive line just getting just a whole lot better, especially over the next couple of weeks with Auburn and Alabama coming up.
So what grade did you say you were giving them again?
I'll give them a C.
C. So C's get degrees all the way around for the defensive line. Moving on to the linebackers, you know, led by Dijon Harris. What have you seen from them so far? And we'll start with you, Tom.
I thought they should have been making a few more plays early in the season. You know, a lot of tackles after 4 or 5 yard gains, stuff like that. But the last couple of games, Harris has had a fumble recoveries, a couple of really nice stops on the edge where he just powered through a gap. Poole had a really nice start in the Kentucky game. Those guys just played a ton of snaps. And at the end of the game, I know John Chavis said that fatigue didn't play a role, but at the end of the game, some of the tackles they were making, even on the edges, there weren't as many as those. It hurts that they just lost Devon McClure. And I think Grant Morgan and Hayden Henry have been good backups. They, at some point, at many positions on this team, guys like Deion Edwards and Andrew Parker and their comparable players on the secondary and what have you need to play more snaps. And Chavis said it himself, we've got to get them ready, and it's time to get them ready. Oh, did I give a grade?
No.
Yeah, B.
B, all right. All right, what you think, Scotty?
I guess I'll go C+. I think Scuda and Bumper Pool have been solid. You know, I kind of got on Scuda last week a little bit for, the missed tackle in the open field against Kellen Mond. That's a play, man. If you're one of the top guys in the SEC, I think you got to make. But he does seem to be around the ball at the right time. And Bumper Pool, I was rewatching the game this morning, and early on against Kentucky, that man was everywhere. he was everywhere in the, and it's like every week the commentators are like, oh, I didn't know his name was Bumper Pool, and they realize he's got one of the most unique names in the country, and they just kind of fawn over it. But he's
they realize they've done three other games this year.
Yeah, exactly. But I think John Chavis said on Monday that Bumper probably had one of his best games to this point at Kentucky. He was really aggressive. I think he was among the team leaders in tackles. Hayden Henry's been fine. I think he brings a little bit of speed to that position. And you just can't mention Hayden Henry without the hit that he made at toward the end of the game against Colorado State that led to a touchdown, gave Arkansas a little bit more cushion. Grant Morgan, I think, has been fine. I think he's given Arkansas more of a boost, I think, on special teams maybe than at linebacker. And maybe this is a time with Plutt gone that we see, you know, Deion Edwards and maybe Andrew Parker's. Chavis didn't even mention Andrew Parker yesterday. And he
didn't seem to appreciate that.
Yeah, he tweeted almost immediately after that he's kind of getting fed up with the, quote, disrespect. So we'll see. I'll what did I say originally? Like a C minus?
You said C plus.
C plus? Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I think C plus works.
Yeah, somewhere in that C plus range. I'm probably going to go C's across the board on defense. They've had some games where they played okay. I think the one thing that I haven't seen from the linebackers yet is the ability to really contain the mobile quarterback. Like Scotty said, you know, the Kellen Mond, Lynn Bowden made him look pretty bad the other night. And hey, by the way, now you're getting ready to play Bo Nix and Tua, and, you know, there's some pretty good quarterbacks still on the
Story
roster.
Down the line.
Yeah. So, anyway, somewhere in the C, again, I don't think Dijon Harris has quite had the season that I thought he was going to have to this point. And I wonder if that, not that he was going to be a high NFL draft pick last year. I think he was probably going to be somewhere in that fifth round range last year, but I don't think he's really helped his draft stock just a whole lot this season. And so I'll be interested to see how he plays the final 6 weeks, whether or not he can do that.
Moving on to the secondary, guys, what have you seen so far from the back end of the Arkansas defense, Scotty?
Oh my goodness. I think Cam Curl has had a pretty good year. You know, I think he's got a couple of picks, and he's got the scoop and score at Ole Miss. I think he's far and away been the bright spot in regards to that group. You know, I think Monteric Brown's been fine. He's been beaten across his face a few too many times. I think back to the it was the Colorado State game. I think one of their bigger receivers beat him across his face for a touchdown, and then, you know, he got called for defensive pass interference against a bigger, more physical receiver against Kentucky the other night. And it was the Ahmad Wagner. He's a magnet for those defensive pass interference penalties in his career. Jarquez McClellan has not had the year that I think he even envisioned going into the year. I think he's like kind of like with Buster. I think he's been beaten a few too many times for my liking. And he talked in the fall about how being physical was going to be kind of a big part of his game this fall. And I haven't seen just a whole lot of that. And part of it could be that, you know, Arkansas's corners are given a little bit of cushion in terms of covering receivers. But Greg Brooks is another one. I remember there was a stat after the Texas A&M game. Opponents had completed 20 of 24 passes when targeting Greg Brooks defensively, so that's not great either. But I think he's your best option at nickel. I would probably give this group a D minus, and Cam Curl is probably the only reason that it's not a failing grade for me.
I think the biggest thing, not so much the pass coverage, the biggest problem that I've had with them this year is their tackling. You know, against San Jose State, the tackling was just terrible in the secondary. Cornerback would come up, miss a tackle. Receiver would get past him, get an extra, 10 to 15 yards. They had something like 21 plays of 12 yards or more that night against Arkansas. Against A&M, I thought they made some pretty good plays on the ball. I was actually a little surprised A&M didn't throw for more yards against Arkansas than they did, but I think it might have been Ladarius Bishop or Monteric Brown. I think both of them made some plays on the ball, or maybe it was McClellan.
McClellan had two PBUs on back-to-back third down plays.
Yeah, so, you know, they had some good plays on the ball that game against Kentucky the other night. They didn't really get tested in terms of throwing it. You know, most of Kentucky's throws were very short passes, you know, where the best the defensive back can do is come down and make a tackle. Now, I didn't think their angles were that great against Lynn Bowden, especially late in the game after they got tired. So, yeah, you know, I mean, somewhere in that low C range is what I would probably say for this defensive unit. And like Scotty said, I think Cam Curl has been the bright spot, although he badly misplayed that ball in the end zone the other night at Kentucky. That wasn't a great look for him. One of the few times I feel like he didn't come through this year.
Yeah, I give him a C. I'm not quite as harsh on my grade as Scotty was, simply because I think the cornerback play hasn't been horrible. And Curl and Fouché have been okay. I think you can count on one hand the egregious busts from Curl. He missed a tackle in the Ole Miss game going down the middle, and he got beat on the fade route the other night. But otherwise, he's been pretty solid. And also, the things that we don't really see, making the checks and making the calls and all that kind of stuff, he's done very well, according to Ron Cooper, the DB's coach. Joe Fouché bit on the fake toss on the first play against San Jose State, which set the tone. But otherwise, I mean, not horrible, other than a few missed tackles. And so and I thought the cornerbacks were given a little too much cushion in the early games, which manifested itself in what San Jose State did against them. Colorado State had some success, and Ole Miss too. But they tightened up against A&M. I thought their coverage on crossing routes and things like that were a lot tighter, as Scotty pointed out, the McClellan breakups. And then the pass interference calls. Some of them have been legit. I think there's about two of them that I probably would question that were big. And so I'm sitting here at a C for those guys. And they need to play more. I mean, we saw Jalen Catalon making plays in camp. And just hasn't got a whole lot of playing time.
Yeah, I know that my grade was probably, like you said, might be a little harsh. I just can't get past the busts early in the year. And I also go back to the Ole Miss game when I think it was Braylon Sanders caught a pass down the middle of the field and he just weaved through everybody. And nobody made a tackle. It didn't look like great effort. And then the other night when Lynn Bowden has his 24-yard touchdown run, Joe Fouché is like the last line of defense, and he just kind of like highway department, here's the end zone. Just like it was like he didn't understand that Lynn Bowden was less than 10 yards away from the end zone and taking the lead late in the fourth quarter. Like I feel like you got to make more of a concerted effort to bring the ball carrier down.
I think that was Elijah Moore against Ole Miss.
Was it? Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right, guys, moving on. This is going to be a tease for next week, but we're kind of running out of time here on the Razorback Roundtable. So our grades for Chavis, our grades for Craddock, and our grades for Morris will come on next week's episode. But we do have one more team to grade, and that is the special teams. And I'm hoping here's a bright spot for the Razorbacks, and we'll start with you, Tom.
I just got through writing up the special teams comparison for the Auburn game, and I right now have Arkansas with an advantage. Connor Limpert has been every bit the equal of Carlson, Auburn's kicker. He's 8 of 10. I think Carlson is 7 of 8, so pretty much the same. Carlson's been a great touchback guy. Those guys are kind of a wash. Sipos, the Auburn punter, has the edge. But Treylon Burks alone as a punt returner has been awesome. And Devion Warren hasn't got the amount of chances. And I also actually like that there's fewer returns right now, which means fewer concussions, fewer injuries. And so I kind of like the touchback stuff being, pretty prevalent. And their coverage units have done well. By this time last year, they had already given up a kickoff return touchdown against A&M and Auburn, and a long punt return from Auburn. And so they've done better, and I would give them a B.
B from Tom for the special teams. What about you, Scotty?
Yeah, I'd probably go B+, maybe an A-. Treylon Burks, like Tom said, has been fantastic in punt returns. I mean, he just the other night when he fielded the punt just a little bit on the other side of the 50-yard line, he almost ran back to the 40, and he was kind of just baiting the Kentucky defender into just, come full speed at me. I'm about to get you with this little sidestep, and he did, and it was incredible. I think Sam Loy has been pretty good, and I think part of Arkansas's success there is his punts have hung long enough where he's not out kicking his coverage. And so his coverage guys can get downfield. And I don't think before last night, I don't think Arkansas had given up like 10 yards in terms of punt returns all season. Kickoff return hasn't been, like Tom said, it hasn't been real prevalent. But I think the fact that a lot of opposing kickers are nailing touchbacks is giving Arkansas better field position than it would if they'd bring the ball out. And Connor Limpert's been pretty good, you know, outside of the miss at Texas A&M. And I think he had one other one. I think special teams has been really good this year.
I'm grading on the curve, so I'm going to give them an A because they're a lot better than they were last year at just about every position across the board on special teams. And I'll say this. I think their field goal team is underutilized. I think against San Jose State, if they would have kicked two field goals, how different does that game play out instead of trying to go for it on fourth down? And I thought that showed – that they thought they could beat San Jose State even without their best game, and they couldn't do it. You know, you kick field goals there, it's different. And I thought the other night against Kentucky, why not go down and try to kick a field goal at the end of the first half when you've got your timeouts against Kentucky? Keep your foot on the pedal, try to get some points there at the end, and then all of a sudden you don't have to convert a fourth and 15 at the end of the game. You can go to Connor Limpert, who I think is maybe the most undervalued player on this team. He is the career field goal percentage leader in the history of Razorback football. And think about the kickers they've had, guys. Steve Little and Ish Ordonez and Zach Hawker was a great kicker. And you can go on and on through the years. They had some of the greatest kickers in college football. Kendall Traynor in the late 80s from the 60s or the early 70s through the end of the 1980s. This was a great field goal kicking program. And you're talking about Connor Limpert's got the best percentage of any kicker in the history of this program. And I think he's very underutilized, and I think he's very undervalued, underrated.
I agree with you, and I said at the time, kick your field goal against San Jose State. Yeah. I just thought that was a mistake. And also, not trying to score right before halftime against Kentucky, I think, is a dark mark against Chad Morris. If you're hammered down, your left lane, I think he was thinking about the negative things that could happen rather than what positive could have come out of it.
And I think that's why he's come out and said that we want our drives to end regardless. We want them to end with kicks because I think he realized that he didn't use a weapon that he had to ensure points, and instead, you know, they turned the ball over on downs at some pretty inopportune times instead of going for almost an automatic 3 points there.
If you want to know the state of Arkansas football right now, those A's that you just gave on special teams that Scotty, we'll say it was an A with an A minus, and then Matt gave with an A. Every one of y'all just assessed one A. Special teams for Scotty, special teams for Matt, and Tom gave an A minus to Rakeem Boyd in the running back room. That's it. Every other position was a B or lower, and most of the time, C. So that's the assessment here on the Razorback Roundtable. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Of Scotty Borderline, Matt Jones, and Tom Murphy. As we said earlier, you know, we will grade out Chavis, Craddock, and Morris. That'll be on next week's show along with reaction to Auburn. So make sure to just tune in for that. Until then.
The Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast is produced and edited for Airship by me, Seth Campbell. Special shout outs to Brandon Marcello, Tom Murphy, Matt Jones, and Scotty Borderline. You can read more from Brandon Marcello on the Auburn 247 website. You can read more from Scotty, Tom, and Matt on WholeHogSports.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Massage Envy. By supporting them, you are supporting us. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing and sharing is one of the best ways to let your friends know about this podcast and for us to grow. Theme music is by Silent Partners. I'm Seth Campbell for Whole Hog Sports. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you back here next week.